I'll never forget, I began to read in Psalms 25, and he spoke to me in every psalm for, I think it was 7 or 8 psalms, maybe 9. He fed my soul for like the next hour. I would read it, and it was like Jesus was sitting in front of me, speaking into my being, into my person, with verse after verse, statement after statement. Good morning. It is so wonderful to see live bodies. Laughing at your own mistakes lengthens your life. Laughing at your wife's mistake shortens it. I think my favorite one of all time is the one that says, scientific study has been done recently, and we have found that women who add a few extra pounds live longer than the men who mention it. That's a word of wisdom right there. This kid looks up at his dad and he says, "That spider bit me. Am I going to become Superman or Spider-Man?" He says, "No, this is Australia. You're going to die." That shouldn't be funny, but it's that third grade sense of humor again. I was lonely until I glued a coffee cup on top of my car. Now everyone waves at me. There's another one that says, a guy put a bumper sticker on his car. It says, "Honk if you think I'm sexy." And then it says he goes to a green light and he parks until he feels better about himself, you know. Behind every husband who thinks he wears the pants is a wife who told him what pants to wear. One more. I met a woman outside the mall crying. She had lost $200, so I gave her 40 from the 200 I found. When God blesses you, you've got to bless others. That's so pitiful. That's so pitiful, but I think that's so funny. In our small groups, we're doing a study out of my book, Strengthen Yourself in the Lord. And every time we write, of course, we have deep conviction behind it. So it's rather challenging sometimes to promote a particular theme. But, you know, David had, he was anointed to be king. He had prophetic words, anointing bowl, all this stuff happened, but he wasn't king yet. And it was when he got into his darkest moment where everybody that really owed him their life, they abandoned him. And it says, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And the next scene, he became king. And sometimes just learning how to minister to yourself in dark moments, not because you don't want to be with people, but because they are unable to see the cry of your heart because the Lord has put you in a different kind of a season, different kind of a moment. And in those moments, we minister to ourselves, and it really opens up doors of promotion. It's the back door to the throne room. The most awkward entrance into the throne room was David strengthening himself and then stepping into that place. So anyway, that's our small group study. So take that to the overflow and bless them. Is there anyone here that just feels really pitiful? You're out of here, okay. Sorry, I'm learning from Chris, which is scary. You know, he'll have a book on spiritual warfare and ask if there's anybody here who's demon possessed, and then he'll give it to him. So I don't know. It scares me what's happening to me right now. So why don't you open to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to start there in just a moment. Let me kind of create a context. 1 Kings 19. You know, if you live in a place like Reading, Reading's been in a drought off and on for a while. And a drought doesn't usually mean no rain. It just means less rain. And so just to illustrate, let's say that you live in an area that in the last 100 years has averaged 30 to 35 inches of rain a year. And then it's reduced to 15 inches a year, that's a drought. Doesn't mean there's no rain, just means it's reduced rain. But those who are born into the season of 15 inches a year think that that's normal. Those who are born into the kingdom outside of revival think no revival is normal. And then begin to judge the massive outpourings of the Spirit as excess. We tend to judge what's happening by our own experience instead of Scripture. Instead of the record of history. History reveals the power, the magnitude of Scripture. And so it's so possible to be alive and a true lover of God, but begin to evaluate and judge everything around you by what you've experienced. And really what it comes down to, we'd never say this, I would never consciously think this of myself, but we tend to judge what God is doing in somebody else by what we've experienced. And usually it's by what we haven't experienced. And learning to recognize the hand of the Lord, because the presence is there, is really the only safeguard. You say, well, is it biblical? Don't get me started. It's a proper question, but it's asked by people with limited exposure to Scripture. In Acts chapter 2, there's a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Peter points to Joel chapter 2 and says, God planned this. And he said, here's where he talked about it. Yeah. And he quotes this passage out of Joel. And in that passage, you know, it talks about, you know, things that would happen. You know, there'd be dreams and visions and all these various things that would take place in a great move of God, of which none of those happened in Acts chapter 2. And all the things that happened in Acts chapter 2 weren't mentioned in Joel 2. But the Holy Spirit upon Peter said, this is that. It doesn't measure up if you're trying to check the dots.
Yeah, that's right.
Check the boxes. It measures up perfectly when you see the ways of God revealed in this manifestation are consistent with the ways of God revealed in this manifestation. Yeah. I had a situation quite a few years ago now, the most difficult thing I'd ever experienced up to that time. I've had some that just put this one to bury it in the dust that had been so much bigger, but at the time that was my biggest mountain. And it was such a challenge to my faith. It was actually, to be honest, it was opposition over something that the Lord was directing, but the people closest to me didn't see it. And in time, they did. And you know, I can't be specific because too many, I want to protect the guilty. So. And I had this night. It went on for days, but there was a specific night where about, I don't remember exactly, I would say between 5 and 6 hours. I don't remember if I've ever even mentioned this here before. Every single time I opened the Bible, I could just open it like this. Every single time I opened the Bible, he would speak to me specifically to what was going on in my life at that moment. He fed me so extremely, so abundantly. It was like I could open anywhere and he would talk to me. Now, I don't recommend that as a way to get direction from the Lord. But sometimes the Lord, he sees frailty and the difficulty of the moment. And it's almost like he says, listen, you're in a bubble of grace. You can't miss this one. And that's what he did. He overextended himself to me in such a beautiful way. It's for 5 or 6 hours. I mean, let's be honest, if you try to get directions from the Lord that way all the time, you may go, you know, Judas went and hung himself. Go thou and do likewise. You know, you don't always want to get direction from the Lord that way. It's sometimes we want shortcuts to hearing from God. And so instead of the responsibility of feeding our soul with scripture on a constant, regular basis. But in this moment, it was 5 or 6 hours where he spoke to me over and over and over and over and over again. And by the time the evening was over, it was late at night, I was asking him why. Why was he giving me so much food? And it wasn't, you know, you understand, it wasn't a question that challenging. It was like, I'm curious. I can feel I am in this moment where I can't pick a bad verse, you know. And he speaks so intimately, so into the details of what I was thinking, what I was praying, what I was afraid of, what I was concerned about, what was happening to my friends, and all this stuff is swirling. And breath after breath after breath of God just made me alive and gave me perspective. And I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. It was 40 plus years ago. I was directed to this chapter. I was directed to this story. A story I don't think I had. I read the whole Bible, so I obviously have read it. But how many of you know you can read something and not get it? And a week later read the same thing and go, oh, that was there? I must have been sleeping that day or something, sleepwalking through scripture. But here, I want you, let's read this together, and then let me just kind of talk to you. Today is not much, it's not a message, sermon, as much as it's a subject. I kind of feel like we're on, you know, 500 acres of land, and let's just walk around it and see what we find, because it just kind of feels like that kind of a journey for me right now. So, 1 Kings, excuse me, I've got a cough. Come out. All right, I'm better. I'm better now. I'm free. It's beautiful. 1 Kings 19, verse 5. Then as he slept under a broom tree. Suddenly an angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And that he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. This is the first record of angel food cake. In the history of the planet, this is the first one, which is in comparison with demons filling the pigs, creating deviled ham. So we've got lots of recipes in the Bible. I know. Apparently, we don't always go from glory to glory. So, all right, verse 6 again. He looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days, 40 nights, as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. The Lord took this moment for Elijah and intensified the feeding program, because it would be followed by a season with no food. Yeah. Now, seasons of no food is never punishment. It's to help us to refine our focus, to rediscover what he's already fed us. Yeah. If he is silent, it's because he's already spoken. Wow. His silence, some of you grew up in homes where, you know, punishment was just, I won't talk to you anymore. And give the silent treatment, and it's hard not to project that onto the Father. And so it's automatically for us to think, I've done something wrong. And certainly if somebody's living in out and out rebellion and they're in known sin and refusing to repent, well, then obviously that's another issue. But when we live as we do to serve the Lord, to honor the Lord with everything we are, everything we have, and there's silence, he wants us to revisit our history. See, there's something unique about the testimony of the Lord. And when the Lord has spoken to you through scripture or there's a healing of cancer, or the deliverance of torment, doesn't matter what it is. When the Lord is active in our lives, it creates a testimony, and that testimony is a living entity. It's I don't know how to describe it. I've never been able to describe it well, but I just know it's alive now. It never dies. All throughout eternity, everything he has ever done for any person will be actively alive, proclaiming his nature, his greatness, his covenant, all throughout eternity. It never, ever dies. And so when you and I have history with God in Scripture, and we have the Lord meet with us in certain situations of our life, maybe we're looking for direction, something very positive, a promotion of some sort. Maybe it's a crisis, but it doesn't matter what it is. In those moments, we read and he begins to feed us. History is created there. Underline it, mark it, do something so that you can revisit. And if you'll revisit with affection, listen to me carefully. If you'll revisit the moment, you're not conjuring up, you're not trying to control or manipulate God, you're just coming in with thankfulness for the God who met with you at this burning bush. Yeah. And you visit it once again, something gets reignited.
That's right.
It's as alive in this moment as it was 20 years ago when it happened.
Yeah.
And if we can learn to steward our moments, then we realize that anytime we come into a place of silence, all he's doing is helping to direct my soul into where his voice is still active. It's in what he has already said. It's in what he's already done. So he directed me to this portion of Scripture, and I realized in the reading of it that he was giving me enormous amounts of spiritual food, if you will. The Bible says that we live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We live because he speaks. We live literally because he talked it into us. And reconnecting with that life. I had a guy that told me once, he said, I get so much from one verse in the Bible, I just don't need to read anymore. I didn't read what was on the screen, but what came up on my screen is basically, you're an idiot. Can you imagine going into the world's best restaurant, ordering Wagyu beef? If you're a vegetarian, this doesn't work with a carrot or anything. My illustration's not gonna, it's just not gonna work. So just pretend you're a meat eater. Vegetarians in Bethel are the most grace-filled people because they have to forgive me every day of my life. So I love you and I bless you. But let's say you sit down to order that Wagyu beef. It's about this thick. It's so perfectly cooked. You slice the meat. I'm going to keep you here an extra hour today. You slice, you take the first bite. Angels begin to sing all around you. Their wings begin flapping. Out of your innermost being comes a new song for the new season. Probably languages you've never spoken in before. Can you imagine taking that one bite and going, that was so good, I don't need another. By the time I finish that one, I'm trying to figure out how do I get the next one. I really have nothing planned tomorrow. When you taste of his goodness, there's no restricted involvement. There's only abandonment. When you taste and see that the Lord is good, you want to cast yourself completely into the pool of his goodness to experience everything you possibly can, because it's the one thing that really matters. So I remember, honestly, I remember as though it were yesterday, where he spoke hour after hour after hour after hour and directed me to this passage of Scripture, and I realized, okay. And so that night was followed by the 40 days. If you think you've done something wrong, you'll look for problems. If you realize his nature, you'll look for presence. I remind you, he said, I'll prepare a table, place of intimacy and fellowship, nourishment. I'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. There is grace for every moment. There is grace for every season. More than enough. He's extravagant. He's not wasteful. made sure to pick up all the loaves and fishes that weren't eaten, because he doesn't waste. I think God can trust you with abundance if you're not wasteful. But some people display their wealth by their waste. It's not good stewardship. You never have so much that you can waste. This season that, you know, that I've been in for a little while now, I like to talk about it just occasionally so that you understand what's going on here. My season of mourning is no longer a season of mourning. It's just moments of mourning, moments of grief. You don't get to direct your seasons. You don't get to say, well, okay, I've done this long enough. It doesn't work that way. But when you follow him, you find yourself into places in God you couldn't have earned. Yeah. You couldn't have worked it up. You couldn't have somehow claimed or declared your way into it, because it just doesn't work that way. These seasons are relational. He brings us into seasons, into moments, into atmospheres where it's only by following him that we find ourselves there. You know, Jesus says he was baptized in water. He came out. The Spirit of God came upon him. The Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness.
Yeah.
If the Holy Spirit leads you into the wilderness, it's because you've been set up for tremendous victory. He doesn't lead us into situations to be defeated. He leads us into situations to defeat the enemy in his in his name. That's the design of things. And sometimes, you know, in this particular season for me, I find myself surprised by how happy I am in my heart. And knowing that I know what it is to choose joy. I get that. I mean, that's been a lifestyle. I've tried, you know, the best I know how, to rejoice before the Lord. And I believe that strongly. But this particular moment that I'm in is not the result of me choosing anything but to stay close. That's it. It's like there's one gauge. One idiot light on my dashboard. It's the value of the presence. That's the only thing that's there. Yes. All the other stuff is important. Yeah. But the one thing, I've just got my eyes on this one thing, is to live daily in constant, as much as I know how, constant realization of the presence of the Spirit of God, because he's taking me into his seasons. And it's just different. It's just different. I am so surprised by what I see him doing. Surprised. And thankful. There's another passage, though, that I would hold in contrast to this when I'm asked a lot of wonderful friends around the world want to know how I'm doing, and that's good, and you the same. And I don't mind talking about anything at any time, so I don't hold anything back, but I also don't broadcast. But there's this passage when the Lord spoke for Israel. He said, let every man gather manna according to each one's need, enough for one person, according to the number of persons in your tent. Then it says, when they measured it by omers, whatever an omer is. I know Barry Bonds hit a lot of omers, but you know, I'm just feeling really pitiful today. I think there's a certain, I don't know if I need coffee or if I've had too much. I'm not sure what it is. He who gathered, listen to this verse. He who gathered much had nothing left over. He who gathered little had no lack. So the whole deal was, for 6 days of the week, every morning, they got up and they picked the manna up off the ground for their family. And they couldn't keep it. They couldn't get enough for tomorrow, too. They had to go enough for just today. And then tomorrow they had to regather. Except the day before the Sabbath, they could pick 2 days' worth because they weren't supposed to pick it up on the Sabbath. So the Lord did this supernatural sustaining thing with the manna where it wouldn't get worms and stuff the second day if it was for the Sabbath. It's just a bizarre story. But the point was, is the manna story is enough for each day, and that's all. Elijah's story was enough for 40 days. And if you don't recognize the season that you're in, the moment that you're in, you'll either try to gather so much that turns to worms. It's kind of a weird illustration, but just work with me here. Just pretend like you understand. Or you miss your moment where the Lord speaks so profoundly to you that he's actually creating a momentum that will take weeks, maybe months, to unravel. And I don't know, be honest with you, I don't look at where I'm at and evaluate my season. I don't, because I'm not trying to be humble. I'm just not smart enough. I don't get it. I don't get it. What I do get is I get his mood. I pick up on his mood. I pick up on what he's thinking. And I can recognize his presence. And if I've got that, afterwards I can look back and describe the season to you. But when I'm in it, not so much, at least for me. You may get it, but I don't. But when it's over, I can look back and say, oh, that was a season of, and describe it. Yeah. But here's the thing to remember. If you define your seasons by your problem, you've already lost.
Yeah.
The season is never about your problem. The season is always about the solution you're going to discover.
Yeah.
It's always about that additional step of expanding the kingdom, letting Jesus be more magnified, more exalted, more illustrated, manifest in a given situation. And that's our life. Our life, we go literally from glory to glory. We go from one place of illustrating Jesus to another. I like having, I've described it to you before, I like having, you know, places where I've met with God through the years, you know. My life's history is on the pages of this book. I can take you to places I remember walking on the property in Weaverville, weeping before the Lord because of an ache in my heart, and the Lord spoke to me out of this chair. I met with, it was a burning bush that day. He shaped my life. I remember walking in the back of the sanctuary, praying, the Lord opening up an entire chapter to me, unlike anything I'd ever had happen before, and it's affected. It was 1979, May, a Thursday afternoon of 1979. It's affected every day of my life since then. Wow. It was a burning bush. It was a moment where I turned aside, and the Lord began to instruct me, and he's been instructing me ever since. History, just feeling so challenged because of a particular problem that just was so painful. I remember flying from New Zealand back to the U.S. In first class. Shall we give thanks? Shall we give thanks? Actually, it was a great encounter. Yeah. Actually, I sat there weeping with a blanket over my head because of just so grieved over something. So grieved. And I remember opening my Bible because I, you know, you got people all over the plane that have their papers from IBM and Apple, all their business projects and their great plans and architect drawings, all this stuff is everybody around me. And I've got my important building plans. I bring out my important papers. I'll never forget, I began to read in Psalms 25, and he spoke to me in every psalm for I think it was 7 or 8 psalms, maybe 9. He fed my soul for like the next hour. He just, I would read it. And it was like Jesus was sitting in front of me, speaking into my being, into my person, with verse after verse, statement after statement. So now, something happens. I can just go right to Psalms 25. You know, I've got history with God. I met with him there.
Yeah.
I can go to Ephesians 4, where the Lord spoke to me in the woods up in Weaverville. I can go to these places in Scripture because there's a little cabin in the woods there. There's a little place that I get to retreat to anytime I want. And it doesn't mean that's the end of it. It means that's the launching pad because he wants to open up more to me. He wants to teach me more about his heart, his ways, his nature, his hope, his promise for me. And so I like to go to the cabin in the woods, that verse, that thing where you have history. For some of you, you know, you've known the Lord a very short time, but you just remember the moment you received Christ, somebody spoke a scripture. Guess what? That's your cabin in the woods. It may have been John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Is there any greater verse in the Bible? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That may be your cabin in the woods. But the point is, everybody has one. And if you forgot where it is, get your map out and find it. Because it's not about survival. You're going to survive. It's how are you going to survive? I want to survive thriving. I want thriving to be my survival instinct. I want to make it through whatever it is that I face in life in a way, first of all, that pleases him. Secondly, and this may sound selfish, but is healthy for my own person. Now, it's got to be healthy for me. When you get on the airplane, the stewardess says, put the oxygen mask on yourself first, then on those around you who need assistance. If you don't take care of yourself, you won't be around to take care of those that you care for. Yeah. It's not selfish to take care of yourself. It's a responsibility. I owe you taking care of me. Thus the Wagyu beef. No, that's sorry. That's that was a little excessive, Richard. But create your history so that as you're in your daily reading of Scripture and you read that verse, you go, oh, yeah. Oh, God, I'll never forget how you met me there. And something begins to happen. It's not your imagination recreating. It's the fact that you're meeting with the timeless one whose voice echoes throughout eternity. And this that he has spoken will never be forgotten. For a number of weeks, the real priority of my life is simplicity, just to simplify. Somebody, I mentioned it sometime this week, and a lady came up afterwards, and she was talking to me about, I think it was like balsamic vinegar or something, but when you cook it down, it's reduction. You reduce it, and it's more intense. So simplicity intensifies what's important. It intensifies. It adds oomph to whatever it is that you're saying yes to. You know, it's like there are times we can have, you know, a dozen things going on in our life. But this isn't that season for me. It may be for you, but for me, it's just like I got one gauge idiot light on my dashboard, and it's the presence of God. It's his mood. It's his heart. It's what can I sense from him? Always involve Scripture. Always. Always. I will not go a day without reading Scripture. The last time I remember not reading Scripture, I woke up at 2 or something in the morning with kidney stones. There's an experience you don't want to ever have again. My goodness, that was horrible. Benny was on a retreat, and I had the kids at home. And so I called my doctor. He says, I'll meet you at the hospital. I said, I can't drive. So he came to pick me up. I called Chris. I said, Chris, meet me at the hospital. So they took me in early in the morning and gave me morphine. What a glorious drug. My goodness gracious. I'm serious. That, I'm not trying to promote anything. I'm just saying my heart was filled with thankfulness as I ascended the heights. And when it was all over, I came to, and I didn't read the Bible that day. I wasn't sure I remembered how to read that day, but I was quite happy. Let's just put it that way. I can't. It's not like it's this great discipline. There's discipline involved, I guess, but it doesn't ever turn to discipline. I don't need discipline to stay in the book anymore. It's become such a part of my breathing. It's my breath. We're alive because he talks. We're alive because he speaks. And I want to engage. I want to read with him. I want to sit down and read. Listen to this. It says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you'll not be burned, nor the flame scorch you. He didn't say if. He said when. And he didn't say when you walk through the floodwaters and through the fire, you're just walking through something I created for you. It's a real mess, and I hope you make it. You know, it's not that. It's a father saying, listen, you're still on a planet filled with sin. There are things that happen in life that were never meant for you, but they happen just the same. So I'm giving you an answer before you have the question. I'm giving you a solution before you have a problem. And here it is. It's my promise. It's what he did in the 23rd Psalm. I will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. It's there. It's there. Don't allow a season to be defined by your problem.
Come on.
Go ahead and stand. First service, I said, man, I'd like to talk to you another hour. It kind of felt like I was threatening them. So I'm not threatening. Sometimes you come into seasons where you're not looking for an insight to share or a message, a sermon or a prophetic word. All you have the privilege of doing is just talking your moments out. Just talk them out loud and just walk around that 500 acres and see if any of it makes sense. And I feel like the Lord, you know, what's happening in our worship, I don't want to say the worship's getting better. I just know I'm getting better. I know something's happening in me is day by day coming into this glorious presence that's been, at least for me, it seems to be increasing week after week for quite a while. And I'm so thankful. But I feel the exact same at home. That same grace when I get up in the morning, when I go to bed at night, it's the exact same grace. And I can't live without continually feeding my soul on that which puts his life on display in me. So my prayer is, Father, help us to simplify in all the right ways. Make us hypersensitive to the Holy Spirit, to your mood, the way you think. Just when you move in a room, when you start doing something in our own home, or there's that moment where we just become unusually aware of you driving down a street. These moments help us to so fully engage with you in these moments you create for us. Whether they be loud and obvious or subtle and easy to miss. Help us with that awareness of your presence that enables us to miss nothing. I pray this in Jesus' name. There's always a chance anytime there's a crowd this size that there would be people here who have never surrendered your life to Christ. You've never been what the Bible calls born again. And I want to give you opportunity for that. If you would be one who would say, Bill, I don't want to leave the building until I know I've given my life to Jesus. I've become a true disciple of Jesus. See, the Bible says, if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul. Literally, you could be the owner of the planet and lose your own soul. You would have nothing.
Yeah.
And so there's an opportunity given to every one of us. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, this is the moment. If that's you, put a hand up real quick where you are. And I just want to make agreement with you. I just want to catch your eyes and see what you're doing, what you're saying yes to Jesus. Put a hand up real high, real quick. All right, I'm going to assume you're all in. We've got a banner. What people over here, we would love to talk to you, pray. Let's have ministry team come to the front as well right now, quickly. And then who's helping me? The lovely lady is coming up to rescue you from me is what's happening.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.